Yes. That's fun to run around with no shoes or socks on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You can really frolic on that stuff. That's
what it's for.
Yeah. The other day, I'm going to San Diego next week. And somebody was like, I'm flying into LAX. Laz Rousseau from Fire Pit was like, hey, have you ever played LA Country Club? And I was like, bro, the only way I'm playing is if they let us hold hands and skip down the fairway. Okay.
Yes.
I was like,
I've heard it.
I'm not going unless we can frolic. Damn it.
Yeah.
And this is Will Wilcox.
There you go. There you go. Yes!
Jim Renner on the 15th hole. His third shot, you bet.
Well, all right. Episode 13 of Deer Time with Willie Wilcox and Jim Renner. Jim Renner and Willie Wilcox. It's nice of you to say his name first. We're super stoked to have a football player turned golfer now.
Yes.
Danny Woodhead, total ledge.
What is up? Thanks. Hey, thanks for having me. You're the ledge getting into... Coming back to pro golf, winning a tournament, and now, getting through locals. That's sick.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, the five rounds have all been 69 or better, and today I had three bogeys, shot six, and it was a hard course. I mean, it was 7,400 yards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a deep Robert Trent Jr.
Bro, what are you thinking of those TA3s, by the way?
I mean, Renner, did you get on that, by the way, Jim?
I have not placed the order, but I did see Randy Peterson, the bowler, and he just got a custom putter from there, and he got it all Munsoned up. So it did look cool.
Hashtag Munson. the TA3s, though, Danny, are absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, you got a striper like Tommy Armour III designing them. They got that soul weighting thing going on that makes it easier to like hit up in the air. And I basically put like 2x4s for shafts in them. But nice. The metals.
What are the new shafts you got in?
130Xs. So I got some big boys in there.
Oh, you're playing the C tapers, the 130Xs. Not the C tapers. Gosh, sorry.
The Tour V or I don't know.
Yeah, but they're the 130X.
They are. Yeah. They're the big boys. If you're swinging, you know, I'm up there around 120 now, you know, you're kind of humming it.
Yeah. Sounds like it. That's awesome.
What's your swing speed?
It's about 120. If I'm just chilling, but feel like relaxed, it's 116, 17.
Yeah.
And which I like to live in.
That's a nice neighborhood. Do you just hit little drop fades?
No, you know what? I have two shots off the tee. I'll play a little fade.
Yeah.
Or I can play a little draw too. But I don't know. I used to play fades only, and now I do like to draw it a little.
Yeah.
With my irons. Like,
you just doing that with your path?
Yeah, I just do it with my path.
Yeah. And because like you sent me a swing video and I should have sent it to Renner too. But you're a +2. Right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all fluctuating. You know how it is, yeah, man. Yeah. Like right now I'm playing like a 12, you know, but, last year or the year before, the highest I've been is a +3.7, but that's if you're catching a hot streak. I mean, you can, yeah. I would say I'm more in the neighborhood of a +2 though. Like I wouldn't say when I'm playing good, I'm more around a +2 probably.
And this time of year, I mean, you're coming out of some brutal months. I mean, what have you just been raising your children in the home.
That's exactly right. It's just not a ton. I mean, you can't really play. And when you do play, it's not real golf because the greens aren't greens aren't real.
A frozen tundra. I assume the winter was totally horrible up there.
Bro, it was just bad because so the weather wasn't terrible, like it wasn't freezing. But then we got no snow cover, we got no moisture, none of that. So it was terrible for the courses.
Yeah. Just a bunch of burnt out.
Yeah. Courses. Whereas the courses are now getting good, like really good. Our course has recovered pretty good. They do a good job of covering the greens, doing all that stuff though. So that helps.
It's just bent across the board, I would assume, right? What you got
out
there?
Yeah, just bent.
So it's just carpet. Yes. That's fun to run around with no shoes or socks on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You can really frolic on that stuff.
That's what it's for.
Yeah. The other day I'm going to San Diego next week. And somebody was like, I'm flying to the LAX. Laz Versal from Fire Pit was like, hey, have you ever played LA Country Club? And I was like, bro, the only way I'm playing is if they let us hold hands and skip down the fairway. Okay.
Yes.
I was like,
I've heard it.
I'm not going unless we can frolic. Damn it.
Yeah.
But that segues us into football a little bit. You spent the most of your time in San Diego, right? Like the longest chunk of time.
Four years. Three was New England, and then two New York, one Baltimore. So San Diego was it was my longest stay.
That had to be ridiculously sick. I mean, get a nice crib out there, like near the water, like Del Mar.
You know what? We were actually inland. We were pretty much just east of Del Mar, like 20 minutes east, because our facility was inland. And then you do not want to deal with traffic out there. No. I mean, you're going to deal with traffic regardless, but you don't want to deal with that traffic.
Yeah.
So we were inland, and I mean, we were having kids, so it was probably for the best that we were not. Man,
compartmentalizing all of that had to be wild, having children and being in the NFL. But how many months a year do you get off when you play in the NFL?
I mean, technically it's 3.5 to 4 of off, but you're never off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're at their beck and call at all times.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, you better be training. You better be doing whatever you need to do to get prepared, because like, if you don't, like, you're setting yourself up to get fired. And yeah. I'm not about that.
No. So you didn't play much golf then during that time?
I'd try to in the off seasons, like when we would have time, because that was kind of my getaway more so. Nice. Like just relax. Whereas now, like, I'm grinding, right? Like, but that was like a getaway to just like, okay, breathe a little. And I would do that in the off seasons and stuff.
But you couldn't do that during the season at all.
I might have played. I mean, you have a day off. I might have played 3 or 4 rounds during the season in my 10 years, maybe.
Wow. Total. Yes. I was on tour, and Renner can attest, I mean, it seemed like pitchers in baseball, they're just playing golf all the time.
Yes. All the time. I mean, and that's the other thing is during the season, like, I feel like absolute trash.
Yeah.
I don't know if like my shoulders, my hips,
God,
it just doesn't sound good. Like a golf swing doesn't sound like enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to
crunching bones.
Yeah. Like not going to happen. Not going to happen at all.
I just wonder, like, I mean, like at what age you did, how many reps at your pro day?
20.
Yeah. I mean, that's way up there, right? Like, I mean,
it's solid.
I'm just jacked.
It wasn't until college where I was like really getting pretty jacked. I would say right before my pro day, I was crazy fit, like crazy, crazy explosive. I was never like that ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. Just lean, mean as absolute. And so you did your pro day at your university, I assume, right? Where'd you do that at?
So the University of Nebraska, they allowed me to come down, even though I played at Shattern State. They allowed me to do my pro day there. And yeah, it was I was fortunate, like super blessed, and then had a really good pro day. And next thing you know, I don't get drafted. I mean, it's weird because it makes you think, like, some people, it's like they run so fast and it's like, no, that's going to get them drafted, right? Or like, hey, they had really good film or really good stats. Well, that'll get them drafted. And I felt like I was very fortunate to have both. And they're just crickets. right?
I mean, and,
yeah, you were the second fastest, like 40 time, I think, coming out.
Running backs.
Yeah, it was crazy. And
okay, I've got like something.
Yeah, I then I was like, well, and I, not that this matters, because I had great teammates, but I also set like the NCAA record for rushing. Yeah, NCAA too. Yeah. For career.
Okay.
It was just a shade under $8,000. And then I had a year of almost 2,800. And so like, I mean, I was like, I thought there was a good chance I was going to.
Yeah. How good does that film drafted? Look? I mean, what do they think? They're like, you're playing against really tough defenses or something, or really weak defenses.
I don't know, man. I look how I look, right?
Well, you're 5'8".
Yeah.
We'll give you 5'8".
No, I'm 5'8". I'm 5'8". And, I was also a white running back, right? Like, yeah. let's call it what it is. It's not really, the greatest combo.
Yeah.
Can we put it that way? But I honestly thought if I could run fast, if I could jump, I had good film.
Yeah.
Maybe he is okay. So
your vertical was crazy
too. Like you had a running back that had hands, like they could throw it to you.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy, man. But that's okay. Like, I mean, it in the long run, it worked out, and it sucked how it sucked at the time, but it was also like kind of what made my story too, right?
It's the comeback story. I mean,
it's
folklore of you, you know, like it just made you like, you know, a legend wherever you were. Because
yeah, I mean,
that story,
it really does.
It's crazy because everywhere I went,
fans loved you.
The fans were like, I couldn't do no wrong, but like they embraced me, and I was so thankful for it. I mean, amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about Renner. Talk about what Danny Woodhead means to Boston.
Oh, like I'm a huge Patriot fan. I used to, I actually worked at the old Foxborough Stadium before it was
Gillette. Oh, wow.
So I go way back. But yeah, it was like you said, you start your career off with the Jets, and just, I feel like I could be wrong on this, but classic Belichick.
Yeah.
He gets to watch you play. And then he's like, you know what? I want that guy on my team. And, brings you in, and, you know, you had such a, you know, you're just so productive, and you like the perfect running back, you know, especially with Falk and all those types of guys. But I mean, what was your experience like playing, I guess going from the Jets and then going from the Patriots, because I feel like there's a big difference in that, those two organizations.
Yeah. So the coaching staff, my rookie year, it was actually Mangini. And I know he gets a lot of hate, but he was very similar to Bill. And then I had Rex Ryan right after. And nothing against Rex. We had some good teams. Now it was a team built by Mangini.
But Sanchez.
Yeah. That was the Sanchez years. And, but like it was definitely different. There's also an expectation in New England that you're going to win. You know what I mean? Like
it's
a completely different, I mean, and then you compare that to like, even like San Diego, right? Like, there's expectations. There's, you know what the expectations are going in every day. It's to do your job. And if you don't, you're gonna get fired, right? Other places, yeah. Not so much.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just what it was. And it was honestly great, because I knew, like, then it felt like you're a little bit more on level playing field when you're a Division II guy undrafted. You're like, all right, I actually chance. And that's all I wanted. All I wanted was a chance. And fortunately, things obviously worked out, and very blessed that they brought me in, because that gave me my opportunity to kind of showcase my skills. Cause in New York, I didn't fit New York's mold, right? I wasn't 5'11", 220.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it was, I didn't fit the mold of the NFL. I needed to be at a New England or somewhere else, or like a Green Bay, somewhere they're just like, all right, we just play football and we're going to try to win games.
When you broke free for that 22 yard touchdown run, like, wasn't that the first time you touched the ball in New England?
No, I think I had one or two other carries, but, I mean, that was my first touchdown. It was,
yeah,
it was surreal. And I was like, what is happening? It was the craziest thing. And then you even think of like the next week I score against, the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And we're talking to a guy that never had scored, you know, in the NFL. And I score two straight weeks. Then we have a bye week. Then we're playing the Ravens and I have over 100 all purpose yards. And I remember juking Ray Lewis. I'm like, what is happening?
See, that's the gold. Oh my God. That's the gold. Juking Ray Lewis.
Them like finding a way to get, like, you're a football player. Like, you played all over the field. You returned kicks. You're on coverage. You know, you're running back that could catch. You could, you know, you could rush. Like, you could, they used everything that they saw that you could do, as opposed to just saying, hey, go out here and do this. Like, I feel like they knew you're a football player. Then we're going to get the most out of you and put you in a position to succeed.
Yeah. The thing that's great, and I'll say it to this day, like, there's certain things that I would probably do different if I was the leader of a team than Bill, but his ways worked for him. So like, right. Do it. But the thing that they do better than anyone in the NFL is they just are like, all right, you're like, so everyone thinks it's a system. I would actually argue that they don't have a system and everyone else has a system. Wow. What they do is they put the players that they're going to play in good situations and what they're good at, where other teams, they just try to plug people in a system.
Yeah.
And when you plug people in a system, it doesn't work. So it's like, you're not using my strengths. I mean, it's the same as, if you're just in a company, right? And someone's just good at managing, not great, like going out and making sales, but they can manage people, right? But they can't make sales. But it's like, hey, you got manager skills. I think we're going to start you out at salesman. It's like, pretty stupid.
You got to adapt. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I would actually say the rest of the NFL has their own system at their team. And New England kind of doesn't have a system. I mean, they have the plays they're going to run, but like it's weirdly not a plug and play. Like, I used to think that before I got there, but it's just not. I mean, do they have guys that, so like Julian, once he came in after Wes left, do they have some similarities? Sure.
Obviously, but they're very similar.
Yeah. But like, Julian was more straightaway, just fast. Wes wasn't. Wes was really quick. Julian was really quick though too. They were both really good, but there were some differences that, now I don't think they're like, hey, we need another short white guy to play slot receiver, so right, we need Julian. No, they don't care if the guy was 6 foot.
Yeah, nice.
And that's the thing that I loved about there is they were like, no, we're actually going to do what a coach's description is. And that's to coach people to be really good at football and then to put them in good situations. And they do that really well. Whereas I don't think the rest of the NFL does.
No, that's a great thing, because I feel like it's the NFL looking at the Patriots, like their system. But then you talk to a person like yourself who played there and succeeded, where they gave you an opportunity to shine. And then your take is a lot different than maybe the media or what other people say around the league. So that's a pretty cool take.
I mean, the NFL, like, it's the fun and easy way to say it. it's just their system. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
you gotta be ever changing.
Yeah. And then people are like, oh, New England guys, they leave and then they struggle. It's like, well, yeah, because they're used to having a coach let them do what they're good at. And then now you're going to another place and they're having to do what your system says they have to be good at. And it's like, that's like one of the dumber things I've ever thought of is like, that makes zero sense. Like, yeah. Let's maybe, oh, let's just say, hey, Willie, you're like unbelievable from 150 out.
Yeah.
Let's, and then the coach says, hey, or you're playing alternate shot. And it's like, hey, Willie, is that all right if I leave you out like, I don't know, 275? It's like, yeah. Well, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Relates to golf, no doubt. I mean, it's same with like golf coaches. Some golf coaches have systems, but then some coaches will take what you have and make it just better as opposed to changing every, right. There's a lot of that.
Exactly.
That's a hell of an analogy, Renner. And it rings very true.
But I think people say that about like Bush, like he just gives you confidence. He just does that. You know how he kind of gets that rap and talk about Butch Harmon. And yep. Then like, well, actually he's probably just like watching this person, getting to know them and then understanding what they do really well. And why mess with that? Maybe just make it a little bit better here and there and not like be these people who just like, all right, here's your golf swing. We're going to tear it down. We're going to start over. Like, yeah. Right.
I had someone try to do that with me and it just, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm terrible.
Yeah. Like, why am I paying this person?
Yeah. It's like, this makes no sense.
What were they trying to get you to like keep your spine angle more or something like
that?
Well,
it was just like, it was more so the swing. And this is sometimes like they want you to swing kind of how they swing. It's like, I don't know. That's not, you're a coach.
The swing's a fingerprint.
For this, had you gotten a lesson before this guy, or was this your first lesson?
No, I had before.
Okay.
Yes. But my guy out in there's two people that I really like. Well, so a guy from San Diego, Rick Johnson, he works at Del Mar Country Club.
He's been the guy that's Rick Johnson.
Isn't it? It's perfect. But he helped me change my swing because I used to be, I'll have to post it or send you guys a text of it. Grossest swing in the world. Like when I was in the league, one of the grossest things I've ever seen. Then he changed it to make it more rotational because I slid like it was just, it was over the toppy,
sliding.
Yeah. And now it's not perfect, but I mean, it's completely different. So I work with him. There's a guy out in Omaha that I play with him a lot.
Siekman?
Siekman supposedly nails, but
he's sick.
His name's Judd Cornell. He actually, he might have played a little bit on Corn Ferry, but it would have been, I don't know how many years ago.
Many moons.
Yeah, many moons ago. He's 50. No, he's like my age or a little older than me. And he's really good. He knows my swing and he knows that I don't want to change the world. Right. I don't want to change a ton.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously I have good hand eye. Just let's not ruin this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then I know JJ Killeen. So he's helped me out with stuff. I never, I'm very careful with, not wanting to just send swings. Cause like I genuinely really like JJ. So like, I don't want to just send him a bunch of swings. Yeah. He's like, send me your swing anytime. Like that's not me. I can't, I don't,
he's got a bunch of knowledge though. Right.
Yeah. And he tries to keep it in very simple terms, but he's just a great dude though. Too.
He's that left elbow is straight at the ground for him. And he's just around the corner.
Yep.
I don't know how he does that. He's so shallow. But JJ's, I was out there. Renner, were you out there in 12? Yes.
Corn Ferry?
Yeah. Remember the year that dominated?
Yeah, that was 11. No, it was 11 he dominated.
Oh, okay. Maybe Wittenberg was 12. Yeah, Wittenberg was the Wittentour, as I called him. Remember Wittenberg, Woodhead? He would just show up and get paired with Tiger Woods and kick his ass.
I don't know him well. I've heard of him. Yeah.
So he got paired with Tiger in the final round at the US Open in 2012 at Olympic, and he, you know, shot like, you know, 69, Tiger shot 75. Yep. And so this is like the David and Goliath thing, you know?
Yeah.
This guy's, He's 5'7". He's from Memphis. He lives in Birmingham, Alabama, of all places.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't even play professional golf anymore. He was one of the sickest players ever, went to Oklahoma State. Anyways, I have a lot of respect for him. He just doesn't hit it that straight off the tee, but he has the most disgusting short game. Anyways, he got paired with Tiger when Tiger won the Players in 2013 in the third round and gave Tiger that drop where he was way up the fairway on like 13. But anyways, Wittenberg, I don't even know where I was going with that other than the fact that he's just sick.
He's just awesome.
Like, he'd have the Oakleys on. He was just an assassin out there. Like
JJ. We're talking about JJ. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it was. We were talking about JJ.
Anyways.
No, he's like a little dude. He's got like, but he's a strong guy. And he had the Oakleys on, just like wouldn't talk to you. But out off the golf course, he talked to you. So two different totally people, you know, and that works for some people, I guess. But that was always a funny thing because he wouldn't say boo to you out there.
Wouldn't say shit. And he'd walk in the locker room. He'd walk in the locker room and I'd just be like, Diesel. Because he was so swole. Like, he was so lean. And I'm just like, dude, you're going to chip it in three times today. I was like, no doubt. Actually, you know, TPC Avenel is this week on the PGA Tour, right? So I watched him finish second, hitting it like total shit off the tee. I mean, he hit the ball terrible, and this is a very tough golf course, and he finished solo second and made like $78,000. And I was just like, I don't know how this turned into a Wittenberg podcast, but I just have respect for people, and JJ was the baller the year before, so that was a segue.
Yeah. So JJ's got, I mean, he always had such a good move. He pounds it. I mean, and he's funny as shit.
He is funny. He's built nice little social media following.
Yeah.
And it's helped him with his teaching, I'm sure too, because I don't know. Like, he's a funny guy. He's not going to annoy you.
I think he crushes.
Like, he's just no personality. Right? He does.
Yeah. And Peterson, have you done their podcast?
So Slaw and I, we've done like together. We've done all four of us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And that's in four different locations, or did y'all meet up?
Yeah. So we were all just on Zoom and we just hung out for an hour and a half or something. Like, cause Peterson, with those guys, they can talk too.
They can. Peterson's he's a mess, but a funny mess.
Yes.
The things that come out of his mouth when he makes a bogey. I mean, I was just like, I got paired with him in Chile in 2012, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm in the Masters in a few weeks."
My gosh!
And he was just, you know, whatever, berating himself. I was like, you know what? I wouldn't worry about this Santiago Chile tournament as much as I'd worry about Augusta.
He was mic'd up. It would have just been classic. I mean, you wouldn't be aired on TV, but if you want to listen to it with your buddies having a few drinks or something, hang out.
I mean, he would have lost his polo sponsorship in about 2 seconds, if you know what I'm saying.
This episode of Tier Time is brought to you by Red Rooster Golf. Here's one of the most underrated pieces of equipment in the game, a buttery soft golf glove. I love slipping on a fresh, perfectly fitting glove on the first tee. It's such a great feeling, and it sets the proper tone for the round. A good fitting quality glove is something we tour pros used to take for granted because we got 4 to 5 every week. They were practically disposable. Now that we've got to pay for our gloves, they are no less important. So that got our buddy and former PGA Tour pro Brad Fritch to develop an innovative new venture called Red Rooster Golf. They make tour quality golf gloves at fair prices, delivered by flexible subscription exactly when you need them. And here's the best part. When you buy a glove, they give a glove to youth golf. How cool is that? I saw Red Rooster launch through Kickstarter last year, one of the few golf brands to have success in crowdfunding. More than 1,000 backers and raised over $75,000. Great for them. I love so many things about this company at Red Rooster Golf. First, the gloves are badass. As good as any of the top brands, super soft Cabretta leather, and really durable. They offer a wide range of styles, from classic pearl white options to subtle tones to bold colors. You can purchase the gloves on their own or sign up for their flexible subscription service and save. Get a glove every month or every quarter, pause, increase, decrease, you're in control. But the subscription is really where it's at. Most golfers don't know where their next glove is coming from. So when a fresh new glove arrives in the mail, it's a great reminder that your current glove needs to rotate to the practice squad. They're also selling what's called the glove compartment. Love that name. It's a glove case to keep those beautiful gloves flat and dry so they last longer. Right now, they're offering a 40% discount on your first glove plus glove compartment with any subscription. You'll find that right on the homepage at redroostergolf.com. But if you just want to give one of their gloves a spin before you commit to a subscription, no sweat. That makes perfect sense. We've got a special 20% discount for y'all. Enter coupon code TIER20. That's TIER and the number 2020 at checkout, and you'll save 20% off your first purchase. So visit my pal Brad and the team at Red Rooster Golf and wake up that golf glove game. Stay tiered. Tier Time is super stoked to have ChicagoGolfApparel.com hop on board as a sponsor. In the last 5 years, these guys have dabbled in the merch game, but they're mostly known for their original Chicago golf towel, their big cash scrambles, and their junior golf programs local to Chicago. These guys are paying it forward and helping the kids, so you gotta love that. These guys are starting to drop some of the sickest head covers in the game, selling worldwide. Each of their new designs have their own collection of products, primarily focusing on driver head covers, fairway head covers, putter head covers, tour towels, and ball markers. Some of the products will remain in their store at all times, but some of them are just a one-time limited release, so hop on that. They will release over 100 new products in just 2022 alone. Chicago Golf is big on collaborations, though, and they have some big ones dropping with some big brands that you're all definitely familiar with, and most of their designs are made to capture the heart and soul of Chi-Town. We've seen that from some of their designs so far, like their White Castle one. That one's sick. You can check these guys out by visiting ChicagoGolfApparel.com. That's ChicagoGolfApparel.com. And be sure to find them on social as well as Chicago Golf. Stay tiered, everybody, and cheers, Chicago Golf. Dear Time listeners, we're excited to announce Birdie Golf LLC as a new sponsor. Birdie Golf LLC is your caddy into the Web3 world with products such as their Titus Collection NFTs, the Birdie Crypto Wallet, and Utility Token, all built using blockchain technologies. Birdie Golf LLC uses Web3 technologies to help normal golfers and crypto enthusiasts alike keep up with their digital assets. Birdie Wallet is a one-stop shop for all your crypto needs. Buy, swap, transfer all your digital assets in one easy-to-use app, as well as head on over to the trending page to see the latest in the golf and crypto world. Birdie's NFT series, the Titus Collection, offers holders of the NFT discounts on hashtag UnderParLife merchandise, as well as grant you access to course teaching professionals for virtual lessons, equipment giveaways, weekly instructional videos, equipment recommendations, and much more to come. Birdie Golf LLC is on all major social media platforms, including Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Discord, and their website is birdietoken.io. That's birdietoken.io. Can't thank them enough, and stay dear. Dear Time listeners, what's up? We are excited to announce that Sub 70 is our newest sponsor. I've been playing their clubs for 6 months. I just absolutely can't get enough of them. The apparel's awesome. The clubs are great. The hats are sick. Anyway, Sub 70 is excited to announce that their brand new 659 forged irons are now available, featuring three distinct models, a cavity back, a tour cavity, and a muscle back. The 659 series is a fantastic option for any low to mid handicap player. By utilizing a direct-to-consumer business model, Sub 70 is able to sell custom-built, high-quality equipment at roughly half the cost of other brands. How about that? The 659 series starts at $654 for a six-piece iron set. Sub70.com. Expectations redefined.
If anybody in the golf course these days says something, you know, they say a curse word, I'm like, you better chill out. You're going to lose that polo sponsorship, bro. which is a good one. I might have coined that one. Anyways, it's always funny. If somebody's acting like a prick on the golf course, just tell them they're going to lose their polo deal and just be done with it.
I love that. I think I think I might steal that one from you.
Yeah, that's what's so great about golf is the endless one-liners and the endless analogies and references that you can make with it, and generally has to do with putting. But yeah, I mean, golf's just, I don't know. I mean, you're retired. How long have you been out of the league, by the way?
I've been out of the league for 4 years now.
And has it been just a golf-a-thon like in the summer? Yeah.
Bro, it's, yeah. I mean, that's all, it's not all I do, but yeah. I mean, that's what I do now.
Yeah,
I play golf.
Bad round or a bad game of football. I feel like golf kind of torments former athletes a little more sometimes.
You know, gosh, and it's not my job,
but just like,
Oh yeah, man, I care as much about golf as I ever cared about football.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I mean, I do. I also understand, like, I'm super blessed to be able to just like go play golf every day. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I'm beyond fortunate and blessed to be able to do that. So like a bad day, it's like, man, that really blows, but I got to figure it out and I'm going to figure it out. Whereas like football, it's like you're reliant on other people and you're reliant on organizations, reliant on general managers, reliant on offensive coordinators. So it's still like, it's all right. But it eats at me. Like, I mean, for the last month, as we've been playing it, this doesn't help. I mean, we've been playing in 20 to 30 mile an hour wind every day and cold. And like, that doesn't help a golf swing. It just doesn't.
You get leany.
Yeah. You get leany and then you get, your back. Like, it's like, I don't know you how short my back's.
Club. You can't. Release the club, yeah.
Ride a rope. Can't fully.
Yeah, it's like get steepy nash, and it's just like now I've played two times in only like 13 mile an hour winds, and it's like, okay, I can hit the ball. I actually do know how to hit the ball.
Yeah, that's a relief for the when that bro, washes over you.
We had a tournament, a four ball, and it was just the Nebraska four ball, and one day the gusts were up to 60 and we were playing.
The greens must have been rolling a four.
Yeah. Yeah. They couldn't like mow them or roll them or anything. It was absurd. It was one of the most absurd rounds. Like, you know how the Corn Ferry always plays in the Bahamas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like that on steroids. I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah, me and Renner, we roomed that week. For you remember the famous Corn Ferry Tour event where it was blowing 37?
Yeah.
That was insane.
Oh, yeah. It was blowing 37. So that would have been like what it was there. That's like identical. It was like, what are we even doing out here?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I lost 8 straight iron shots.
Doesn't shock me. Like me and my partner were talking, I go, I haven't taken one real golf swing today. That's why I haven't taken a real golf swing.
Yeah. It's just super stabby and steep. And then you catch that heel and the ball slices 150 yards.
Yeah, it's so like, true.
Dear God.
So true.
You're watching the craziest things. You're just like, I've never, like, don't even know how to mentally prepare for it. It's like I'm hitting from 120 yards and the thing's curving like 50 yards.
It was, it's absolutely absurd, isn't it? Like I didn't even know what to do. I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah. You get the downwind and the crosswind, it's like, I just hit 8 iron from 270 and then I hit 8 iron from 40.
Yes. It's so true. Yeah. That's what happened. Oh yeah. Because we were on one hole and I had like 245 out and I'm like, I hit a 7 iron to pin high. And I was like,
like, wait a minute.
that's not my stock 7 iron.
That's something that like some blowhard dude will brag about. He's like, yeah, I hit 7 iron.
But he won't talk about the win. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah. And he's the guy too, that like, if it's a calm day, he's like, I mean, I can stretch it like 240 sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
He's definitely a guy that then thinks he can do that all the time.
Isn't that so funny?
I have a buddy that does that, and it's hilarious. Like he hit like 270 one time, and now he thinks he can cover 270 with his three wood. He hit it like 230.
It's so true. Like, I don't know how many times, like, you play with people that, like, they don't play a ton, or they do, and they're just like, they just really don't care about their golf swing, and it's like they're fine shooting really bad scores and not being able to find their ball.
Those are the good buddies.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. But like, it's like, yeah. So what do we got? Hey, you want to shoot it for me? Yeah. 160. Yeah. I don't know. Like, what do you think? 9 iron? It's like,
no,
it's like, I don't think that. Yeah, I was actually thinking either a baby 6 or a 7 for you.
Yeah, exactly. And you gotta let them down easy, though. You gotta let them down easy, but it's just like, eventually you go, you know, that front number, you haven't hit that all day. So we got a club up.
and guess what? If you do go over by 40 yards, let's just give a high five.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because I mean, short is generally better than long, but when people pap the ball, it's just like, just hit enough club for God's sake.
It's so true. So
it's like an airport and the guy next to you can't wait to talk. He's like prying you to talk about golf. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's like, oh yeah, I hit it 340 off the tee. Hit my iron like 230. Like, oh man, this guy for now, like, I don't play golf. Forget it.
It's so funny. It's so funny too, because it's like, I don't care how far I hit it. I mean, I like to hit it a decent amount where I can get home in two a lot, but like, I don't care if I hit my 5 iron 120, but I was just absolute nails with it. Like, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I've played with some great golfers. Renner has too. And I played with DJ a couple times back to back in summer of 19. My buddy Andrew Loop, he would come to Jupiter and stay at my house. And he's like, oh, we're going to go play with Brooks and DJ today. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, why don't I get these invites when you're not here? So we'd end up playing with all these badasses. And I was like, DJ, how many full shots do you hit per round? And he's like, about one. So yeah, he's like, if I'm trying to cover a bunker on a par five, that's it. But then that day he had a shot from 167 with a 6 iron. That was unbelievable. And he's trying to fly at like 148 and he just takes it like hip to hip and just lets this little low cut. I was like, I hit like 8 iron or something. And I was like, what did you just do? And he's like, I was just hitting a shot. And he hit it to like 10 feet at Bears Club, you know, some crazy green.
That's nuts.
Like, yeah, he just chips it around. And that's what the best players do. So when somebody's talking about, you know, busting the ball, it's like, well, you know, the most efficient players in the world don't do that at all.
Like ever.
Yeah, ever. I mean, he can get 220 out of his 6 iron, but he doesn't.
For sure.
No, exactly. That's like you watch Fino, like, it's like, how much does he have in the tank if he really needed it? But why would he doesn't need to do that. You know, you've got, but it must be pretty funny though, Danny, like playing in these tournaments. And now you see the true personality of some of these golfers that is, it's just pure comedy, isn't it? I mean,
oh my gosh. It's, you're just like,
who exists?
Yes, yes. Exactly. I mean, there's some great, great dudes, right?
Absolutely.
But yes, it's there's, and obviously you guys, golf's been a big part of your life. Yeah. And but like there's some different cats too, you know, golfers. Oh. Like, yeah. I mean there's some absolute unbelievably cool dudes.
Yeah.
But then too, like I come with such a different mental mindset. Like, it's funny, like if now they're younger, but it's like these kids or whatever, they bogey a hole and then they just go
meltdown.
Yeah. Guys, that was one bogey. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're the weakest I've ever seen mentally in the history of the world. And now my gauge is probably a little different because I played for Bill Belichick. And if you're not mentally tough at all, then you're fired so fast.
Is that like being at boot camp or something? What's that like?
Yeah. It's like being, I mean, ish, right? Like, it's aggressive. Yeah, for sure.
Anyways.
But it was also, I mean, man, I was so blessed to be able to do like that. That got
that
my career
broke
going.
You wide open, basically.
Yeah, it did.
And but I mean, San Diego, sorry, we're jumping around.
You're
but
fine.
I mean, you had a better, or whatever, you had a great run over there too. And I watched some of your highlights earlier today. And I talked to a few people today and I'm like, we got Danny Wood on today, by the way. And a few people said, I don't know who that is. And I wanted to hit them in the face as hard as I could. And I said, pull up YouTube right now, pull up YouTube and Google his highlights and then we'll talk. And that's what they did. And it's like, Jesus. But yeah. People that don't know who you are, I get offended personally. I'm spreading the word.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, people in Alabama, you know, it's just Roll Tide, right?
That's true. I get it.
Yeah. Chatter State. And so like you didn't, if you would have gone to Bama though, everybody would love
they you. They would love me.
Yeah. But anyways, an NFL is not a thing at all in the state and I freaking love the NFL. And that's why, you know, I mean, you were my favorite player for sure. And I turned pro in 2009 and, I was, you know, it was like almost like rooting for like the NFL's Bob Estes. You know what I mean? Like he's 10 finger gripping it. He's undersized, but look at him go.
And he went and he made money.
That was great. Could have been like on NBC Sports commentating right there. Romo's out, Will's in. Look at him go.
I mean, it's just so sick what you did. And you were in there for more than a decade, right?
Yeah. So I was at 10 years. 10 years is how many years I played. And man, it's crazy looking back, you know, it's absolutely nuts looking
back. In your 20s, you're just flipping. You know what I mean? Everything's like, ah, this is just how life goes.
Yes. And then you get 10 years down the road and then you have a fan, like we had 4 kids and it's like, holy crap. Like, it's time to retire. I got to get out of this. I got to go play golf. I got to go home to Nebraska, hang out with the family. And that's what I'm doing now, man. And it's, I'm telling you, I've never been, I've said this multiple times in like, even on our podcast, but like, I've never been more excited to be alive. Like, yeah. Like
that's wild. That's cool, and
the thing is, it's like, and that's, I think what I've also learned is it's like, man, live in the present. Like some people, they'll apologize.
Just kill that day.
They'll apologize that they didn't know certain things about me. I'm like, I don't really care. Yeah. You know, like I am so happy to be alive. I'm so like, I love my kids. I love my wife. I love that I get to play in all these tournaments. I love that I'm trying to qualify for tournaments. Like, who has it better than me now? Other people would probably argue that they do. But I love where I'm at. I love playing golf and I love competing.
Well, and that's true because like you played one of the toughest, most physical sports there is and you came out of it. And I'm sure like, you know,
you had
a lot of people though that maybe, you know, they physically didn't come out of the game as well as they would have liked and they do certain things. Like you said, it's awesome that, you know, you've got that appreciation and you tell like you're just an awesome guy, obviously, but, it's nice that you kind of have all that stuff and that's great because your life going forward will just be awesome. I mean,
perspective is just everything. And the fact that you don't have all your worth tied to the game, is gotta be pretty rare.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys struggle with that retiring is man, like just, that's everything for me. And I don't get me wrong. I love to play, but, it's not the most important thing for me.
Yeah.
The relationships I've built way, way more important. Like the friends that I have, the family members, my faith, like it's all gravy, like stuff like this. Being on a pod on your guys's pod, because I played football and whatever, this is just the gravy. This is just like the fun, right? Like, I have an absolute nails family. Like my kids are awesome. My wife's awesome. My parents are awesome. And I feel like I have awesome friends. Right. Yeah. And so like, And I think it's just like some of it's too, is like perspective, like mentally getting in that space of just being like, just gratitude and thankful for it. Right. Like, man, like, cause yes, I played 10 years. Yes. There's certain things that I may get to do that some people my age don't, for sure. But man, if I was a math teacher and a football coach and I had 4 kids and a wife and we were month to month financially, I'd still look at it the same way. Like I get to be alive right now. I get to be alive in 2022. Like, yeah. It's pretty sick.
Yeah. Elon Musk owns Twitter. Sick.
Right.
That's some fantastic perspective. And it's just, it's just, I'm excited about Elon buying that thing.
Yeah. But, I think it'll be interesting.
I think you definitely have some of the best perspective of anybody I've ever heard that came out of sports. I know I was a salty dude for a while. The golf will do that, but I mean, I can't imagine getting knocked around. Like, I mean, injury wise, like I know obviously the injury rate is 100% in the NFL.
Yeah, right? For sure.
What did you ever had like an ACL or anything?
I had two ACLs and a broken ankle. And then I tore my hamstring off my butt.
Like, okay. Wow.
Tendon like just snapped. So that sucked. That one sucked. Yeah, I'm fine though. Like I walk the courses. Like I walk a lot.
So broke your ankle, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was that practice or a game or?
That was a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I had injuries and stuff, but I still came out, good. And people are like, hey, are you worried about all your injuries just stockpiling? Cause everyone's like, oh, it's going to be, cause you hear everyone that's 45. They're like, wait till you get my age.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like you don't know. You don't know. Yeah. It's like, first of all, you don't know my life.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm not taking that perspective. Like at the end of the day, God knew every car wreck on the football field I was going to be in. And he like created the world. So like, he can probably keep me healthy enough to keep playing golf.
Like, yeah, that's
like,
huge.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't want to give in to thoughts of negativity of like, oh yeah, I'm not going to be able to walk when I'm 50. No, that's, I don't know how it's like, I think I'm going to be great. I think I'm going to be walking the golf course at 60.
Yeah. Yeah. I just met a man earlier. I'm at a friend's house on a lake. His dad's 87 and he had a really good career at Jacksonville State. This dude's walking around kicking ass. He was fixing the boat earlier.
Yeah.
And he got into some car accidents. I know he wasn't in, physical, car wrecks, and he wasn't in the NFL, but, I can imagine that, coming out of that and being like, man, I feel pretty good. I mean, that's so rare. Like if you watch that Broke documentary, you're just like, dear God, every time somebody gets out of the NFL, their lives turns just goes in shambles.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the case for everybody. Even a guy that ran the ball and caught the ball, which is pretty cool.
Well, it's so true. And I think if you get out of the game and football's the only thing that matters in your life.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Like it just is. Like if you don't have like something, like if you don't have family members or whatever, like if you're so caught up in just that, and you then next thing you know, you're not famous, you're not on TV. It's like, I don't care if I'm on TV. Like it's kind of great that I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, young when that kind of maybe that card will be dealt to them where they're not going to be in the league. It's like, yo, I'm 27, 28, and I got my whole life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, man, this chapter of my life, like I'm absolutely just, I'm so excited for it. I mean, it's already started, but like, I'm excited to wake up every day. Like, why not? Like, yeah, my career's over. My football career's over. That was fun. But like, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you got a good routine going, things like that. Like, I mean, obviously you have four kids. I mean, I assume they're,
yeah.
How old's the oldest one?
Oldest is 10. So it's 10, 8, 6, and 4. And, my wife's amazing. So on board with my golf habit. Right. And nice. It actually was like one of the best things for us. And
yeah,
just because it gets me out of the house, but it's amazing. Like I couldn't ask for a better wife, obviously. Like she's incredible. And we just had to find a routine. Like what's it look like? And And now that we have, I mean, it took us probably 3 to 6 months. And I mean, those first 3 to 6 months were really hard, but after that, it was amazing. Like absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. Just got a nice groove going.
Yeah.
What's your next tournament? What do you got lined up?
So I have the US Open locals. It's actually at my home course.
Nice.
Yeah. So
when's this going?
So it's on Wednesday, next Wednesday.
And the weather's going to be all right, or
should be pretty good. I've heard in the past when it's been there, it even or one under gets through. So I'm like, and now it's not an easy track. Now someone could go shoot 4 or 5 for sure. But I'm saying like, it's very hilly. And it depends on if they're going to completely tip it out. I don't know if they're going to, because of slope, you know what I mean? With slow play sometimes, or
yeah.
So, but I mean, it's nice that it's my home track. Is that going to make more putts going? I don't know, because there's so many subtle breaks at our course. Like if you're in the wrong spot, like you just need to be in the right spot. If you're not in the right spot, you're dead nation.
Really? What? Just like up over hill and then like straight
down?
Yeah.
So it's super, super, super hilly. The senior open was here last year, and all the senior guys complained about it because it was so hilly. Like there were guys that struggled to get
tee to green. Like,
So just walking, walking the course. There's so many hills.
You're in Omaha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Did you ever go to the Cox Classic up there? That was pretty.
Yeah. So I'm a member at that course too, at Champions.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's a much easier walk.
Yeah. I mean, it is really just that one down off the tee and then you're pretty much good. 9 though, that's a fun drivable par 4.
9's a good hole.
If you made Eagle, there was like $2, $1 beers or something for like 30 minutes. So
really?
Yeah. Everybody.
So people went nuts.
They went crazy.
Is that the old one? The old Omaha one?
Yeah. So the one that's in Omaha now is actually, I live in the development of that course.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah.
That's a good course too.
Hard, right?
Yeah, it's not easy. And they get
So that's the course where your qualifier is?
No, so that's at OCC. Oh. This one, that's a public course actually. The Indian Creek. Yeah.
And that's where Sam Ryder won a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, then Ryder won there, but then I also played with Ben Coles the year he won. He shot like 61.
Oh, wow.
That was at the other one. What's the Cox Classic course?
That was like Champions.
Yeah.
That was always got tore up.
That was so much freaking fun.
Maybe he just rolled everything in. I mean, it was fun to watch. It was just like,
what do you do?
He just rolled in everything. I mean, he shot 61, I think. And
he's the best putter.
I think he won his first two events out there too.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, wow.
Like, you know, new kid from Virginia. Awesome guy too. Great dude. And
love him.
I just remember he had like one of those like 6 Scotty Camerons and he just kept, I'm like, oh, he made a 30 footer. Okay. And then it's like, oh, next hole made another 40 footer, a 30 footer.
Crazy.
Yeah. I played a million practice rounds with him. And if he's got a 12 footer to have a hole, it's wet, period.
Yeah. He's got a money stroke.
Just move on.
Yeah. And he had a guy caddying for him that was 81 years old or 80 years old, which was pretty. JJ. That's
awesome.
Kenny Bowles. But well, yeah, I think you should. I was just thinking about the Dismal trip earlier, but I might get in the BMW. I don't really know. So it might be a bittersweet not be able to show up type thing. Because I know we were supposed to be partners in the first
round. I know. but if you get in, that's cool.
So. It would be cool, but I was going to say, you should go play that tournament sometime. Have you ever thought about playing in any of these pro-ams?
Yeah, I have. My schedule, I play in all the AM stuff and then all the US AM qualifier stuff.
June's covered up.
June is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in that case,
one might be harder.
That one might be tough. I played with Patrick Peterson when he played.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So I got a, well, because I want to play in the tournaments that you get points for. for like rankings and stuff like that. So
damn, you're in it.
I'm deep.
If you ever get a chance, I mean, if your handicap's that low, you need to go to Scotland in June and play the St. Andrews Lynx Trophy. And it's like $50. And if you have a plus 2.6, then you get to play the new, the old, the old, the old.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, it's a joke. And I went over there for 4 weeks before I turned pro in 09, played Scottish Stroke Play, St. Andrews Lynx Trophy, British Amateur Tennant Cup. And all these tournaments, you just cruise right into and you get to play the old course for $50 for 4 days. Granted, it costs a ton to get there.
But still, it's sick.
It's ridiculous. So yeah, if you're a big amateur golfer, which obviously you are, and you're playing in all those events, 1 year, if you get a wild hair, maybe take the
family. I'll have to do it for sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a good idea. But well, cool. Well, I mean, that was an hour there. I mean,
yeah. You know what? I actually am taking my kids to a movie, so I probably should be going here anyways. So
okay. Well, I appreciate it so much. And are you going to see that new Harry Potter or what?
No, there's some bad guys movie. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think I think it's an animated, but they're excited. So
it's all that matters.
Yep.
Actually, I just got one quick question for you. This doesn't podcast or whatever, but I was a huge Randy Moss fan. How good is that guy? Like in practice and then just
freakish. So good, but a better guy even.
Yeah. That's what he's like, an awesome guy.
He was just country as country can be.
Would you say he's the most talented like player you saw when you were out there or no?
So I showed up, he got traded like 3 weeks or two, I don't know. But so I was only with him, but he was awesome. I loved him. And he could, I mean, obviously it was towards the end of his career, but he could still run.
Yeah. That's what
I think. He was a great guy. Funny guy. Yeah.
And also I have one last question.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about you and I debated not even asking you this, but like a Tom Brady pass when it comes in there, I mean, is it staying in the hands a little bit? Or, I mean, obviously you're really ready for it, but
yeah. Sometimes it could, but not, I mean, the best guys, when they throw it hard, it's super catchable still. It's really kind of weird to explain, but, yeah.
There's no wavering in that.
Yeah. It's like it's kind of in a perfect spot. So it's like, it's not going to hurt.
That's sick. Yeah. I wanted to talk about Philip Rivers too, but cause I know your buddies with him, right?
Yeah. Same deal. He's unreal.
Yeah. He's from,
they're both unreal.
He slipped through the Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah. He lives in Bama now.
Does he?
Yeah. I can't remember where.
You can just shoot me his number whenever you get a
chance. Yeah. 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 For sure.
And hey, you got Brady too now, right? You probably whooped him, right?
What?
Probably whoop Brady on the golf course right now too, wouldn't you?
Yes, I believe I would. I believe I would. I believe.
I like.
I believe a couple weeks ago I would have when I was playing terrible.
Yeah. He did hole one shot in that coverage. That
yes, he did, which was cool. Which was cool.
Yeah, and it was dumping at Medalist. That'd be miserable out there.
Looked terrible. God.
Anyways, well, all right. We'll take those kids to the movie and have a good one. And Danny, cheers, bro.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. All
right, later.
Bye.
All right. That ends episode 13 of Deer Time with Jim Renner and Willie Wilcox. Danny Woodhead was awesome. That was so cool. And he was one of my favorite players always. So, you know, he's just, what a great David and Goliath story that is, and what a legend and nice guy he is, and he loves golf, so that's the cherry on top. All right, y'all, stay deer.